Walking around these walls, I thought by now they'd fall, but you and I. Thank you.
Has anybody entered into his gates with thanksgiving? Have you entered into his courts with praise? Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Good morning, Ascend Church. Let's lift up a praise to the God of our salvation, the one who can do anything. Hallelujah. Yeah, that's it right there. One, two, here we go.
There is no shadow that has ever overcome your light, and there is no rival that could ever stand against your might. You've always been with us. Every battle you've already won, we've already won. There is no weapon that has ever left a mark on you, and there is no army with the power to conquer truth. You've always been with us. Every battle you've already won, we've already won. Yeah. Show me one thing he can't do. Show me a mountain he can't move. He's the God of the breakthrough, and anything is possible.
Yeah, yeah.
Show me one thing that's too hard. Show me waters he can't part. He's the God of the breakthrough, and anything is possible. Is possible. There is a kingdom that's advancing at the speed of light, and in his kingdom every dead thing is bound to rise. God our Redeemer, he is faithful to revive. Oh, he will revive. Show me one thing he can't do. Show me a mountain he can't move. He's the God of the breakthrough, and anything is possible.
Do you believe it?
Show me one thing that's too hard. Show me waters he can't part. He's the God of the breakthrough, and anything is possible.
Possible. Here we go.
Now all of my fear I will turn into praise. Shake off despair as I sing out your name. A victory dance I will dance out in faith. I will crush disappointment and break every chain.
Come on.
Now all of my fear I will turn into praise. Shake off despair as I sing out your name. A victory dance, I will dance out in faith. I will crush disappointment and break.
One more time.
Now all of my fear I will turn into praise. Shake off despair as I sing out your name. A victory dance, I will dance out in faith. I will crush disappointment. Show me one thing he can do. Show me a mountain he can't move. He's the God of the breakthrough, and anything is possible.
Yes, he is.
Show me one thing that's too hard. Show me waters he can't part. He's the God of the breakthrough, and anything is possible. It's possible.
He can still raise the dead. He can still heal your body. He can still pick you up. Hey, and anything is possible. Is possible.
Now, church.
Hallelujah.
I just want to point out, it's the last Sunday in this building. Okay, so I don't know about you, but I feel like worshiping and praising God this morning. I feel like raising the roof this morning. Who's going to say something? Somebody lift up a shout of praise. Hallelujah.
Yeah. No matter what you're going through, we serve a God that can make a way out of no way. Says in Isaiah, he'll put a river through a desert. No matter how dry your situation, our creative God, all-powerful God, will make a way. Here we go.
I know you will come through. This mountain is moving. I fix my eyes on you. If you said it, you'll do it. Yeah, yeah. Cause you are God. No matter the odds, the outcome is always the same. The words on the pages, the promise you made us, still have the final say. Help. You will make a way, always make a way. I know you will make a way, always make a way.
What you do. It doesn't matter the situation. It doesn't matter what it looks like, how big it looks. The mountain can move. Come on, somebody. He's still a healer. He's still on the throne. Come on, this is the one true living God. Somebody give a testimony in this place. If you know that you know that you know. If you've seen him move. Hallelujah. Lord, we praise you. We give you honor in this place. At this time in the service, we'd like to invite our prayer partners to come forward. And if you're in need of prayer this morning, we'd like to invite you. Don't be shy. We want to pray and agree with you in the mighty name of Jesus. If you're not coming up for prayer, I strongly suggest you sing this out with me. Come on, somebody worship. Somebody give him praise. Somebody give him honor. It's not time to be quiet. Come on. Come on.
Mountains still be moved, strongholds still be loosed. God, we believe. Yes, we can see that wonders are still what you do. Bodies are still being raised, giants are still being slain. God, we yes, we can see that wonders are still what you do. We are here for you. Come and do what you do. We are here for you. Come and do what you do. Set our hearts on you. Come and do what you do, as we need a move. Oh, we need a move. coming in this room. Miracles happen when you move. Heaven is coming.
Come on, church.
Miracles happen.
Come on and sing it. In this place, how many are looking for a miracle today? How many need a change in their lives today, a breakthrough in your life? So what I suggest is you lift up your hands right now, receive it in faith, even if you can't see it, even if it looks impossible. We're going to declare miracles happen when the Lord our God. God who is holy, holy, holy. Come on, church, like the angels, we're going to shout, holy, holy, holy. Holy is the Lamb. Come on.
The earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. All creation cries that you are holy. All creation belongs to you, God. You are the highest. You are the greatest. You have the name above all names. We worship you. Holy forever. Hallelujah. Here we go. A thousand generations falling down in worship. Sing the song of ages to the Lamb. All who've gone before us and all who will believe will sing the song of ages to the Lamb.
Why?
'Cause his name is the highest. Your name is the greatest. Your name stands above them all thrones and dominions. All powers and positions, your name stands above them all, and the angels cry, holy, all creation cries. Let me hear you say, that's right, you are lifted high, holy. Holy forever. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And if you've been forgiven, and if you've been redeemed, oh, we'll sing a song forever to the Lamb. And if you and give you bear his name. Oh, sing a song forever to the Lamb. Oh, we'll sing a song forever and amen.
And the angels cry, holy,
holy,
all creation cries, holy. Greatest, your name stands above them all thrones and dominions, all the powers and positions. Your name stands above them all. Jesus, your name is the highest. Your name is the greatest. Your name stands above them all. Jesus, all thrones and dominions, all the powers and positions. Your name stands above them all. And the angels cry, holy,
holy,
all creations cry, holy.
Scared of a noise complaint. I don't know about you. All right. So right now we are actually going into service. Won't you take a moment and greet the person next to you? Meet somebody you haven't met yet.
All right, how are you guys doing this morning? It's good to see you guys here. Are you guys happy to be in the Lord's house this morning? I'm always excited to be here on Sunday mornings because This is not man's house, this is the Lord's house, and this is a time to come into the presence of the Lord and just give him worship and praise that's due his name. So first off, I just want to welcome everyone who's here. So glad you guys are here, and I want to welcome the online viewers. So glad you guys have tuned in. If you guys have any prayer requests or comments, feel free to type them in the chat. We'd love to pray for you. Ascend members, those of you guys who are watching online, you haven't been here for a while, we miss you and we hope to see you soon. My name is Abel Cartwright. I'm hosting and emceeing the service today. Pastor Steve and Jill are away and they've asked me to step in. So we have a special guest for you guys this morning. And I before I introduce him, I'm going to have Pastor Steve. He's going to introduce him in a video. But if you guys, which raise your hand at me if you guys are on social media, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, any of you guys? Okay, if you guys haven't found, but Ascend Church has a YouTube page, has a Facebook and an Instagram page, and it's really easy. One share, one like, subscribe. It can really change a person's life sharing this live stream. So I just encourage you guys, if you haven't followed us online, just it's another way to just check in and stay in tune with what's going on with Ascend Church. And then you can also watch us online at Ascend website. You can download the app on the Apple Store or the Google Play Store if you have an Android. And you can watch us tune in on YouTube as well. So if could you guys wave at me if it's your first time. I want to welcome the first-time visitors. Anybody here for the first time? Okay, doesn't look like it. As we're going to have an attendance register that's going to go pass around, would you guys just mind filling it out, putting your name, contact information? As Pastor Steve's the shepherd, he just likes to connect with you guys and see how you've enjoyed the service and if there's any ways that he can pray for you guys. So just as that goes around, just feel free to fill that out. And then as far as we're going to transition now into the tithes and offerings. And this is a time in the service where it's really a continuation of worship. The tithes and offerings is a holy time for the Lord. And I like to approach this with that same reverence and same respect that we have for worship, acknowledging him because he's freely given so much to us in our lives. And so it's our time to give back to the Lord. So there's going to be different ways to give, but before you guys prepare, as you're preparing yourselves, I just want to share a little bit of encouragement and some of the word to help you get encouraged today. So as I was preparing for what to speak on, I heard the word promise blessings. And then I did what every preacher and pastor does. I turned to Malachi 3 for the tithes and offerings. And as you'll see what I'm reading about, most of you guys are familiar if you guys have been going to church for a while. And it's going to be up on the screen, so I encourage you guys to follow along. And I'm just going to read a couple scriptures, but I want you to pay attention to the first couple verses because I think we're all familiar with opening the windows of heaven, pouring out blessings. But there's a couple of scriptures before that the Holy Spirit highlighted to me. So let's read it. It says, I am God, yes, I am. I haven't changed, and because I haven't changed, you, the descendants of Jacob, haven't been destroyed. You have a long history of ignoring my commands. You haven't done a thing I've told you. Return to me so I can return to you, says God of the angel armies. You asked, but how do we return? So look at that part. Turn to your neighbor and say, return to me so I can return to you. So begin by being honest. Do honest people rob God? But you rob me day after day. You ask, how have we robbed you? The tithe and the offering. This is the part that you guys are probably well familiar with. That's how. You're under a curse, the whole lot of you, because you're robbing me. Bring your full tithe to the temple treasury so there will be ample provisions in my temple. Test me in this and see if I don't open up heaven itself to you and pour out blessings beyond your wildest dreams. For my part, I will defend you against marauders, protect your wheat fields and vegetable gardens against plunderers. The message of God of the angel armies, you'll be voted happiest nation, You'll experience what it's like to be a country of grace. God of the angel army said so. So there's three points I just want to, they're really quick, I just want to leave you guys with. The first thing is these promises of Malachi, we've taken the promises from the whole scripture, Old Testament, New Testament, and we apply it to our lives. So the first point I want you guys to know is God's promises do not change. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We read about that in Hebrews 13. Therefore, his promises do not change. They're the same yesterday, today, and forever. What he promised in Malachi, those promises are for you and your children and their children. So you have to claim that by faith. The second thing is relationship is key. This whole concept of tithing and giving and offering, the purpose of it is to trust the Lord. And you can't have any healthy relationship outside of trust. So the purpose of this is to trust God, because finances, it's a huge part of your lives. You work a third of your life putting in hours and hours. And so the Lord understands that. That's why he wants this relationship to be strengthened. And one way to do that is to give to the Lord, because he's given to us. And some of you have not seen the relationship with the Lord fully restored yet. And so this might be the final step to growing closer and deeper with the Lord. And the third point I just want to say, he's waiting for you to return. Those verses before that, he said, return to me so I can return to you. So tell your neighbor again, say, return to God so God can return to you. He's waiting for you to return to him what's his. How many of you guys know that everything that you have in your life is from the Lord? That we don't own a single thing. We're called to be stewards on this earth with what he's given us. So he's waiting for you to return to him what's his. And then when I was praying on this, the Lord showed me, or the Holy Spirit revealed about the disciples were with Jesus. They had the 5 loaves and 2 fish. They returned to Jesus so he could bless what they had. When you give to the Lord, he blesses it. So once they gave to the Lord, he could return back to them what was theirs. Do you see that? They had to give so he could return it back, but he had to bless it first. So there's something that happens when you give to the Lord. He blesses it, and then he returns it back to you. So God's saying, I need you to return it to me, what's mine, so I can bless you. His whole goal is to bless his children. And it's this process that we have to walk out in order to bring our relationship closer to him. And you notice as the disciples received it back, it multiplied and multiplied and multiplied before their very eyes. They didn't have to do anything different. They just gave it to the one, the provider, and he returned it back to them. So I encourage you guys, I'm not putting any pressure on anyone, but this is between you and the Lord. And this is holy. This is a holy moment with the Lord. So just search your heart and ask Holy Spirit, because he already has an amount already picked out. And just be obedient, because obedient brings the blessings. And then once returns, then we get to the scriptures we all know about. He opens the windows of heavens. He pours out blessings beyond your wildest imaginations. He protects you and your finances. And he turns your life into a living testimony for the world. You, Isaac, sowed in a time. It's in Genesis 26:12. It says, Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him. The man began to prosper and continued prospering until he became very prosperous. For he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and great number of servants. This last part. So the Philistines envied him. God wants you to be so blessed that the world, that your whole life becomes a testimony of his goodness. He wants you to be so blessed that the world says, what's different about them? I don't know what it is, but I want what they have. And it's Jesus Christ. He's the provider. He's the blesser. And he wants to bless you tonight. He wants to prosper you. That's who our God is. He's a great God. So as you guys prepare yourself to give, there's ways to give on the screen. You can sow with an envelope. There's PayPal, Cash App. You can sow online for those watching online. And lastly, before we introduce our guest speaker, he's come here on his own dime. We haven't asked anything from him other than just come and share what the Lord's placed on his heart. So if you want to sow into Luke Berry's ministry as he comes up here, I just encourage you guys to ask the Holy Spirit, because he is doing a good work. And we want to sow into those people, because all those souls saved in the salvation and the seeds that have been sown in people's hearts, not only here, but all the other churches that he ministers to do, you take part in that and that blessing as well. So I'm just going to pray, and we're going to have a short video that Pastor Steve's going to introduce Luke. So Father, we thank you for who you are, Lord. We thank you are a great and merciful God, that your promises are true. They're the same yesterday, today, and forever, Lord. We thank you that you are pouring out blessings. We're living in an open heaven, that you're protecting us and our finances, God. We take hold of those promises today. We know that we can rest our life on that foundation, Lord. I thank you for everyone under the sound of my voice that's hearing this word, God, that you would just speak to them in a clear way, Lord, that you want to grow the relationship with you and them more than they think or can imagine, God. You want it to be the strongest relationship built around trust, Lord. So I just ask that you would speak to them to return whatever it is back to you, God, so you can bless it and give back to them. We love you. We worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, guys, sit tight. We're going to watch a quick video, and then our guest speaker is going to come up.
Good morning, everybody. We're so glad that you are here today. Welcome to Ascend Church. Today is actually our last Sunday in this building. This is our final service in this building, because next Saturday we move to our new location, that is at the Maplewood Center, which is on 401 Maplewood Drive in Jupiter. It's just down the street. Really, it's just around the corner. And I'm excited about this move. I just have an excitement in my heart. I believe the Lord's got great things in store, and I believe God's got some great surprises for us, and I'm looking forward to it. We will be having Saturday night at 6 p.m. We will stream it live online, and then we will show the service on Sundays online at 10 a.m., 2 p.m., and 12 p.m.
Right, and we're so sorry that we're not here on this final Sunday in this building. We had something that was planned a long time ago, and that is that my niece in Canada is getting married this weekend, and they asked me to officiate the wedding. So that was really exciting. It was an honor. And as I say, we planned it a while ago, so that's the reason that we're not here today.
Absolutely. But you know what? We are so glad to have our son, Luke Berry, is preaching the last service in this building, and we're so proud of Luke. He is the worship pastor at VU Church down in Miami, which is led by Rich and Dawn Cherie Wilkerson. And Luke and his wife, Francesca, have been married. They just celebrated their 12th wedding anniversary. They have three amazing children, Roman and Olivia and Penelope. And I know you're going to be so blessed today. So we look forward to seeing you next Saturday at our new location. I want to encourage you to invite someone. Bring somebody with you. You know, a great way to invite someone to come to church on Saturday night is to say, hey, would you like to go to dinner on Saturday? Oh, yeah, by the way, we're going to go to church first, okay? Bring them to church. Go out to dinner. Let's give the devil a black eye. I'd love to have a great big opening on our first service next Saturday night. So we really hope to see you there. I know you're going to be blessed by Luke's ministry today. Why don't you give a big Ascend Church welcome to Luke Berry today?
Hey, good morning, everyone. How are you doing today? So good to see you. It's awesome to be here at Ascend. I'm holding my sermon notes here. I'm going to drop them off. But I'm grateful to be in the house with you and be in the room. And what a special day. Thank you guys so much. Can we just give it up for your team leading today? Monique and Branson, Hannah leading us in worship, Abel hosting services. Great job. I've known Abel since he was 6 years old, which is crazy to think. And it's amazing to see what God's doing in his life and really just continuing to do in your church. And it's always an honor getting to be anywhere, but it's extra special getting to be here because this is family right here. And I love my mom and dad. I'm missing them. I've been seeing pictures all weekend of them out in Canada and just having a great time. They don't get to see that side of the family too much, so I'm really happy they got to be there. I heard my mom crushed it in the wedding, leading everything with my cousin Tyra. And so it's just amazing to get to be with you. And it's a significant day. It is the last Sunday, as you heard, in this building. And I do think that it's significant as you're making a move into this new space, which is really an old space. We used to gather in Maplewood Plaza in that exact building you're going to on Saturday many years ago. I can't even remember, maybe Tom, you know, 10 years or 12 years ago or something, right? Before I got married, that's where my wife first joined our worship team, per my dad's request, which is funny. My dad was always he was committed to Francesca being my wife before I was. He invited her on family vacations before we were dating. We were just good friends, and everyone was convinced that we were dating. People can't conceive of a man and a woman being friends and not dating. They're like, you guys spend a lot of time together. Are you sure you're not dating? I'm like, I'm sure, definitely. But my parents, I think, knew something I didn't, and thank God they really forced us to get it. No, I'm kidding. They encouraged our relationship. But Francesca and I were leading worship in that space, and just remember incredible memories in the Maplewood Plaza. So I'm excited you guys are going back. It's down the street. This Saturday is at 6 p.m. Your services. I encourage you to be there. But if there's anything I learned over the last 9 years in full-time ministry down in Miami, it's just that the building doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter where you gather. It doesn't matter what time. That stuff can change any day of the week. We can go somewhere else. I've been part of a mobile church for a long time where we were meeting in a middle school in Wynwood, a place called Jose de Diego Middle School down in Miami. That's where we started. And loading in on Sunday morning, bright and early, loading out at night. God was faithful, filled that space. We ended up gathering, if you can believe it, for 6 services in a row in that space. So we would come in at 5:45, we'd have church at 9:15, 11 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 6 o'clock, and 8 p.m., and then we would load out till about midnight, and it was a good time. I was 26 years old, and so I had the energy for it, praise God, but he's led us to bigger spaces and different places, and all that to say, no matter where we went, it was really all about the presence of God. It's the people of God gathering to honor him, to glorify him, to worship together, to build community. That's what church is all about. Amen? And so no matter where you are, God's going with you, and I'm excited for this new season for your church. And in fact, that's the phrase that's kind of been on my heart this week, and I know that what I'm doing right now is a very unusual thing, getting up on a stage and sharing a message. It's not something, you know, that maybe relates to all of us. But the easiest thing to do if you're asked to preach somewhere is to just go to the last message you preached and be like, okay, cool, that's the most fresh on my mind. That's what God spoke to me most recently. But I felt compelled this week to go back in the archives. There's a message I preached in 2017 at VU. And it was on this idea of seasons. And really the whole week, as I was thinking about being here, I just felt drawn to that phrase. And I actually retitled this message for you guys. And I've called this message, It's a New Season. It's a new season. Somebody say, it's a new season. It's a new season. And I haven't preached on the subject in many years, but I really felt like this is the right word for today. And so would you go with me, if you have your Bible, to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, one of my favorite books of the Bible, one of my favorite passages in the Bible. It's very famous. Solomon, the philosopher king, he writes, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot,
a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. I'm not sure what kind of time you've had this year so far. It's been moving very quickly, but there is a time for everything. And times change. No season lasts forever. And I love what the writer goes on to say in verse 11. It's my favorite part. It says, he has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart, yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. Come on, one more time. Tell somebody, it's a new season. It's a new season. And if you don't know my story, I was born in Johannesburg, South Africa. And I spent my early childhood in Cape Town. I grew up there. When I was 11 years old, my parents felt that God had called them to move to America to start a church. And they took a huge risk. At 36 years old with four children, they moved 10,000 miles across the world, came to Jupiter, and started a church. And so I have been in South Florida the last 24 years of my life. And I'm actually coming up on the age my parents were when they moved here, which is crazy to think. I'm 35 years old. I have not quite caught up to them in the children category. I have three kids. I'm not sure if we'll go for four, but I started a little later than them. My first kid I had at 28. They had their fourth kid at 28. And so they started very, very young. I actually wanted to show you a picture of my family. I sent this to Monique this morning, so hopefully she has it. There we go. This is us on our family vacation. This is the last trip of the summer to the Keys. We had some friends, and he took a picture with like a film camera, and it got developed yesterday. So he sent me this photo last night, and I was like, this is incredible. So this is my beautiful wife, Francesca, of 12 years. This is Roman, who is not having it with the photo. He's a wild child. I took him to men's prayer yesterday, 8 a.m., 500 men gathered for prayer, and he was just loving it. Olivia is our four-year-old. Roman's turning seven next Sunday. Olivia's four, and Penelope, my favorite, is one. She's going to be turning two in October, and these guys are just incredible. So as you can see, I'm a very blessed man, so grateful for the family God has given me. You can take that down. That's very distracting. But my family is the best. And 9 years ago, my wife Francesca and I, we felt the call to move down to Miami with our friends Rich and Dawn Cherie and to help them plant a church in the heart of the city. And praise God, he's been so good to our family, so good to our church over the last 9 years. Today, we're gathering in three locations. We'll have eight services today. Thousands of people showing up for church. Today, we're in 21 days of prayer and fasting as a church. We're taking 3 weeks together. We do it every January, every August. Today's day 14 for me. So pray for me and for our church as we fast, but just believe in the best is ahead. We've been seeing really incredible things in our church. God move in a deep way. We've been doing prayer at 6:30 every day on Zoom. That's the best thing that came out of 2020 is just everyone figuring out how to use Zoom. We've been jumping on. Zoom maxes out at 1,000 people. We've run out of space. People have been not able to get into prayer at 6:30 on Monday morning. It's pretty nuts. And so it's just been awesome. We've been doing prayer meetings Wednesday nights, Saturday mornings, noon every day on Instagram, just praying as much as we possibly can to get through our fast. But just believing that the best is ahead for our church, and the same for you, praying for my parents always. But like I said, listen, okay, so to the message. I've been living in South Florida for 24 years, and I love South Florida, but the one thing we do not have here is seasons, okay? We have one season. It's just like one endless summer, okay? We have hot and a little bit less hot and then hot again, and I am not complaining. I would take an endless summer over an eternal winter, praise God. How many of you grew up in Florida? Summer is all you know. Yeah. Any snowbirds that you're like, I come down. Okay, so you guys know what winter is. You know what snow is. It's not just mythology and movies to you guys. But we got summer. Maybe we get spring. No autumn. Certainly not a winter. And I'm thrilled about it. But I wonder if maybe we miss something about the rhythm of life. Maybe there's something we can learn from the seasons and the way that God has designed and structured our world. And seasons are really fascinating. This world that we live in, it goes through a regular rhythm every year. Have you ever considered the regularity of the world, the four seasons? It's more than just a fancy hotel. It's part of the fabric of how reality works. As our planet revolves around the sun, it goes through these regular periods of change we call seasons. Summer, spring, autumn, and winter, and over again. And I don't know if you know, but there are more seasons than that in our world. A lot of ecologists work on a six-season model. Many tropical regions kind of have two seasons. There's the wet season, the dry season. They might add a third cool season or a mild season. We got hurricane season, tornado season, wildfire season. Rivers have flood growth and low water seasons. North of the Arctic Circle, south of the Antarctic Circle, you've got these maximum periods of either midnight sun or polar night where the sun doesn't set for months at a time. Seasons, they're just fascinating how they work on the earth. And there's this great song about seasons. It says, oh, how nature acquaints us with the nature of patience. How we can learn from nature. We can learn so much from the place in which God has placed us about patience and about rhythm and about change. Life does not stay the same for very long. If you've lived at all, I'm sure you've learned it. We're constantly moving from season to season, and there are seasons that we don't want to see go in our lives, like a new romance season, a honeymoon season, or maybe you have, like me, small kids, and you're going, I want Penny to stop growing. I just want Penny to be like this forever. There are seasons that we just want to stay in as long as we can, maybe a job that you love or a city that you love or a home that you love. I don't want to sell. I don't want to move out. I don't want to go on to the next thing. Some seasons we don't want to see go, but then there's some seasons that we just can't wait until they come to an end. There's some things we go, God, how much longer do I have to be in this season right now? Like, how much longer do I have to deal with the problems I'm dealing with? Maybe it's a sickness in your body, or maybe it's a work situation or a relationship struggle or issue. Maybe it's a financial problem. There are all kinds of difficulties we walk through in life, and it's easy for us to just wish those seasons away and go, God, I just want to move on to the next thing. Whether we like it or not, seasons are built into the fabric of life, and we're going to go through things. And so whatever season you're experiencing today, good or bad, it will not last. It will come to an end, and God, I believe, has a new season in store for you. Today, I want to give you just three quick observations, three things I believe that seasons bring to our lives and things that we can learn and be aware of as we live. The first thought is that seasons, they bring rhythm because seasons are regular. Seasons bring rhythm to our lives because they are regular. I'm learning this as I age. It's not just like I'm moving forward. It's these cycles of like, You go into a season, you come out of it, and you might find yourself in an easy time or a difficult time, but eventually you'll move into a new season in your life. And I think it's a lot easier to face things when I know what to expect. Have you ever come into a time in life that you did not know what you were getting into, and you're going like, man, this is not what I thought this season was going to be like. I remember for me when we brought Roman home from the hospital. In the hospital, it's freezing cold, and so they had taught us to swaddle him, to double swaddle. So we get a blanket, do it, and then another blanket, and do it again. And we brought him home a couple days later, and we did what we were taught to do. We took him home, we swaddled him twice, and 3 a.m, he's still crying, he's still upset, he won't calm down. And so we're freaking out, we're new parents, we have no idea what we're doing, we're tired. And I called my mom, who was staying nearby in Miami for emotional support. And I called her, and we're like, Mom, we took Roman's temperature. It's 102 degrees or something. And we think we got to go back to the hospital. We think he's sick. And she said, okay, just calm down. Call Nadine. My sister Nadine is a nurse. And just ask her some questions. So we called her. We woke her up. We asked her what we should do. And she said, you know what? How is he like right now? We said, okay, he's double swaddled. He's all good. And she's like, maybe just take those off and just give him some time and take his temperature again. And 15 minutes later, he's back to normal. And we had created a fake fever and a fake illness, and nothing was wrong with him. And he went to sleep, and we learned, praise God. And Penny is now a perfect child. I've been hearing a lot about the difference between your first child and your third child. It's just couldn't be more true. Obviously, it's mostly you as a parent and how you treat them. But our youngest, Penny, I came home with her this week. We take our two older kids to school together. Penny comes with me so mom can go to the gym. And then when we come back, we're alone. So we came back, and I had something to do outside. So it's just me and Penny in the house. She asked for a yogurt. She talks a lot. She's super smart. I gave her a yogurt, and then I was like, all right, I got to do something. So I walked to the front door, and I went to leave. And I looked at her, and she walked over, and she just went. And then I walked out and closed the door, and she was fine. She thought that I had fully left her alone in the house. Didn't care at all. Totally good. Just the third child. Independent. She's good. She'll handle it. And then about 5 minutes later, she opened the door and like looked out, and I was pulling weeds outside. And she's like, okay, cool. You're still here, you know? Coming into a season, you don't know what to expect. You're trying to figure it out. And it can be difficult. But you know that so often our greatest disappointments in life are just the result of our unmet expectations. We thought it was going to be one thing, and it ended up being something else. It wasn't what we thought it was. It didn't play out the way we expected or hoped that it would. But I think that so often our expectations are unfounded. We don't have a reason to expect what we expect. And I think we need to treat our expectations like employees. They need to be managed. We need to decide what to do with them. Not lower our expectations, not lower the bar, not give up, but to consider what we're expecting and ask ourselves, is this a reasonable expectation for life? Do I have a good reason to expect that this is how things are going to go? Because sometimes we're just not honest with ourselves. We think that when we get married, our relationship problems are going to go away, and that's not how it works. It's an unfounded expectation. There's no good reason to believe it. And then we end up disappointed because it doesn't play out how we had hoped it would. Or we're expecting a child to solve our marriage problems. That's probably not a good approach to having children. We're mistaken, or we're expecting instantaneous results in some category of our life. In our work life, you go to the gym and it's like, all right, it's been a week and I'm not seeing the six pack yet. If you're expectations are not aligned properly, you set yourself up to be disappointed. And so the question is, what can we expect out of life? And I think it's very simple. I know this is impossible to answer, but I think we can expect the unexpected. We can expect to be surprised. We can expect that things are not going to play out the way we imagine them. It's not going to look quite how we thought it would look, and it's not going to be exactly how we thought it would be or hoped it would be. I believe, because I have faith in God, that things are going to be better than I could imagine. So I'm not saying it's going to be worse. It's just if you try to make it all play out the way you expect, you're going to be disappointed because it's not going to be quite the way you picture it. So I think planning is important. I think having a vision is important, but we always got to be flexible. We got to be ready to pivot with the seasons of life and really with what God is doing, because seasons are surprising. We never know what's coming our way. We can expect to have good days and bad days. We can expect to wake up feeling good and excited, and sometimes to wake up not excited about the things that are happening in our life. There's nothing unusual about it. It's regular. It's normal. This is to be expected. You're not an anomaly, and you're not alone in your feelings. But if we have the wrong expectation, we're going to end up with the wrong experience because we're going to interpret it improperly. So we can expect seasons to change. We can expect that life will not always be the same because there is a rhythm to this thing. There's a rhythm to how it works. And you can be assured that it will change. Now, it's easy to amen this kind of thing when things are not going well. And you're like, yeah, praise God The bad season's going to end and everything's going to be good, but the same is true of a good season. I'm not saying bad things are coming, but of course, there will be a moment when you go, man, the thing I was just in is maybe better than right now. I wish I could go back to the thing that I was in. And it's so easy for us to idealize the other thing, the past or the future, but we have to live in the season that God has placed us in right now. We've got to accept the challenges and the changes of life that are invariably going to come our way. And I think it's much easier to swim downstream if we can lean into the season God's placed us in. And we can run with the wind of the Spirit. And we can trust Him. I read this pithy quote on the internet. It says, be patient with yourself. Nothing in nature blooms all year. And I just think we can learn from nature that we need patience because no one blooms in all seasons. No one thrives and succeeds in all seasons. The season you're in will come to an end. You won't always be in that season. But I think practically, you could maybe say it differently. You can't always win in every category in life. You can't get an A in every category all the time. And so we got to discover and come to terms with the season that we're in. Where do you want to win in this current season? You've got to decide and you've got to prioritize. Because the question, where do you want to win right now, begs the question, where are you okay to lose right now? I know it's not really like the language we want to hear. You know, I don't want to lose anywhere. But you've got to say no to certain things. Not no forever, and it doesn't mean they're bad things, but no for now. I'm not going to do this right now. Like I said, we're in the season of prayer and fasting. It's not anti-food. It's not anti-body. It's just going, hey, no for now. I'm going to set this aside so I can just set my sights on what God wants for me, and I can show myself, show God I'm serious about my faith. I want to discipline myself. I want to put these keep these things in their place in my life, and we'll see how God honors that and responds to that. So where do you want to win in the season that you are in? Where do you want to win in the season that you're in? Sometimes the hardest season to embrace is the one we're in right now. But as Solomon says, there's beauty in every season. He's made everything beautiful in its time. And of course, there's difficulty in every season. There's always something you can celebrate. There's always something you can complain about. There's always a good thing and a bad thing and a difficult thing. I think we need to stop looking for the answer in the last thing or the next thing and go right now, God, I trust you in the middle of this season. I'm not going to wait for tomorrow, and I'm not going to wish for yesterday. I'm going to trust you in the middle of it. You can expect that your season will change because they're regular and they bring rhythm to our lives. Does this make sense? You still with me? Praise God. Okay, second thought, seasons, they bring renewal because seasons are purposeful. They bring rhythm because they're regular. They bring renewal because they are purposeful. They do not exist in isolation. Every season follows out of the one that preceded it, and it leads into the one that will follow it. Autumn to winter, winter to spring, spring to summer, all the way back over again. So how can your current season prepare you for your next season? How can the place you are now get you ready for where God wants to take you in the future? What can you learn in this season? How can you change in this season? Because God wants to renew you. He wants to renew you season by season, and renewal takes time. Renewal does not happen overnight. And so you're not always going to be in the season you're in, so why don't you embrace it and learn as much as you possibly can? Why don't you get the most you possibly can? In high school, people want to go to college. In college, people want to get out and get a job. When you get a job, you know, you're single, you want to get married. Married people want to be single again. You know, whatever it is, going wishing for the next thing or the last thing. You got a lot of young married guys acting like bachelors. It's like, dude, you're married now. Move on. This is the new thing that you're doing. Seasons are powerful. They're purposeful. And one of the best ways to understand and process our lives is by way of analogy. That's what we're doing all day today. We're looking at the nature of our world and finding applications for ourselves personally. We're looking at natural life, talking about human life in order to gain a greater understanding of what it's all about. But having grown up like on the heels of the Industrial Revolution, really coming into the digital age, we're raised and educated in a system that's designed to meet the needs of our era. And so we think in mechanistic terms. We think in machine terms. But we're not mechanisms, we're organisms. So you're not a machine. There's a great book called You Are Not a Gadget. You're not a gadget. You're an organism. And it's so easy for us to approach our problems in life with industrial rather than agricultural mindsets. So scripture is just replete and filled with agricultural analogies, right? Talk a lot about farming and a lot about seed time, a lot about harvest and sowing and reaping. These are principles of how the world works. But sometimes these things are lost on us because I was born in a city. I don't know anything about farming. And so sometimes we go like, I'm not fully sure what to do with all these things. But we're talking about how we change and how we grow and how God renews us. Well, the answer is he doesn't renew us. He doesn't tune us up like a machine. We are growing over time. We're planted. God sows seeds of change. This is how he works. God works with seed. And seed takes time. It's a process. Seed, time, and harvest. The way that we like to live is seed, time, harvest, but it's more like seed, time, you know, and then harvest. It's a process. It's how the world works, and it's how God works in our lives. And seeds, they grow in the dirt. They grow in the dark. They grow below the surface. You can't always see the growth that's taking place in your life. It's invisible. And they don't just grow anywhere. They don't grow above ground, and they don't just grow in every soil. So it's important to understand God has taken time to renew you. He's working within you. He wants you to become the person he's designed and created you to be, but it's going to take your lifetime. And so if you're starting to get a little bit impatient, may I remind you that God is working, that he's sown seeds, and we've got to be patient, and we've got to be planted. We've got to wait for him to work. If we change jobs every 6 months, how do we expect to see any results in our lives? Can you stay planted in the thing long enough to see some results? If you go from relationship to relationship, how do you expect to ever experience true intimacy with another person? That's not how it works, because it takes time to develop a real relationship. If we bounce from church to church or city to city, whatever it is, how do you put roots down and allow God to work? And then we end up frustrated because we're not seeing the results, but we're not mapping our behavior to the nature of reality. This is how God works. It's an unfounded expectation, which will soon enough become unmet and soon enough become a disappointment and a frustration. Famous passage, Psalm chapter 92, it says, the righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. Are you planted? And maybe a better question today is, where are you planted? I'm not just talking about coming to church on Sunday. I'm talking about planting your life. Where have you put your full weight down? In practical terms, where are you invested in life? Where are you invested? Where are you consistent? Where are you staying long enough to see results in life? Not just in here, but spiritually, in your personal spiritual life, in your relational life, in your financial life, in your emotional life, in your professional life. I'm telling you, long-term thinking is the key to growth and success in life. I know I'm only 35. I know that I haven't experienced as much as some of you, but it's proven so true, and it's not just my experience, it's the word of God. Planted, you'll flourish. If you're planted, you will flourish, and it takes time for God to work and bring the harvest. So we got to put our full weight down. Where do you want to change in life? You got to get planted. Where do you want to grow in life? You've got to get planted. Where do you want to experience renewal? You have to get planted. If there's anything I would tell my younger self, it's just start sooner. Just get started earlier. Work on yourself younger. Invest money earlier. We've all seen those Dave Ramsey things where it's like, if you invest at 18 versus 30, and it's like, dude, this is discouraging because I'm 35 and I'm just figuring out how to get life insurance. You know what I mean? Like, a funny story. My wife and I were going to Israel last year, and before we left, she's like, hey, we have 3 kids, so we should probably have life insurance. And so as we had to be at the airport in an hour, as we're packing our bags, I was on a Zoom call with our life insurance agent at Primerica, who goes to our church and leads our parking team, praise God. But a guy named Mike, and I'm like, all right, so Mike, so what do I got to do? And we're talking, and then I'm like packing up our stuff. Actually, really annoying sidebar, I got my blood test and all that stuff in January, and then being, you know, dumb and also being busy, I didn't follow up and submit the paperwork, and I followed up in July, and he was like, hey, after 6 months, it expires, and it's been like 6 months and 3 days or whatever, so you have to start over again, so I have to fill out the paperwork again and get another test. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. The point being, invest early, not just in your money, but in every category of your life. Invest and put your roots down and watch God work. I remember a few years ago, my family was kind of going through a difficult time. My mom told me this story. She said that God had came to her in a very, you know, still quiet way in prayer, and he had said to her something like this: I'm with you in the storm. And at the time, her response to God was, God, I'm not in a storm. Everything's good in my life. And little did she know, she was about to walk into one of the most difficult seasons of her life. And as she stepped into that storm, she remembered the word of God, and it comforted her. But sometimes God speaks something to us that doesn't really make sense right now, because it's not for the current season. Often God prepares us in this season for the next. He does something in us that he gives us the raw material, or he gives us the insight, or he gives us the promise for the next season that'll carry us through. So the answer for your current season is not going to come from the next. You don't have to go, oh, everything's going to be solved in the future. However, the answer for your next season is, it just might come in your current season. God is going to give you the thing that you need to move forward in your life. And he's using the season you're in to prepare you for the season to come. I believe that. He's renewing and working in you. He's using this thing to get you ready for the next thing. He's using the conflict of today to build the character for tomorrow. He's using the current struggle to strengthen you for the future battle. And so you got to use what you learned in your last season and this, and you've got to get ready for what God has ahead of you. You don't know what's coming, but God does, and he's working in you in intentional ways. Seasons are powerful. They bring rhythm because they're regular. They bring renewal because they're purposeful. And thirdly today, seasons bring reassurance because seasons are temporary. They bring reassurance because they're temporary. Remember Ecclesiastes 3, verse 11. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. And what is Solomon doing right here? He's drawing our attention to the tension between the temporal and the eternal. He's directing our attention to that which is in time and that which stands outside of time. He says, God has made everything beautiful in its time. Yes, he has. Life is meant to be enjoyed. There's beauty in every season. God wants to use what's happening in your world and in your this period of your life to do something in you, so he can use what's done in you to do something in your world. Nothing blooms in all seasons. All things bloom in season. However, he's made everything beautiful in its time, yet he's also set eternity in the human heart. Life itself is a season. Life itself will come and will go. It's a season that eventually will come to an end, and there'll be a new season. And I believe it's an eternal summer. No more night, no more pain, no more darkness, no more sickness, no more sadness. This will not last forever. Our time on this earth, it's limited. So what are you going to do with this season called life? You know, I have this tattoo. Forgive me if you're against that. I have this tattoo, and you can't see it right now because I'm preaching, so I cover it up. If anyone has a tattoo, you know this, like, there's like an unspoken rule that you have to be prepared to explain the meaning of your tattoo to all people. And I think when I was younger, I always dreaded doing that for this one because it's kind of like morbid and dark and a bit obscure. So I have this obscure Latin phrase on my right arm, and it says memento mori. Memento mori. And it's a famous old phrase, and it basically translates to remember your mortality. Remember that you must die. Positive, right? Uplifting, encouraging, reassuring. It's a reality check. And the phrase has a long history, goes back to the Romans, when the emperors would go through a victory procession, they would have a parade, they'd ride through the city, and people would be cheering, and it's said that there would be an aide sitting next to the emperor, and every so often as they rode along, he would just lean over, and he would whisper in the emperor's ear, "Memento mori." And what he's saying is, you're just a man, and life is temporary, and you have to keep it all in perspective. You're not a god. Remember your mortality. And I guess for me, the idea is twofold. So I'm not a Stoic, I'm a Christian, which means for them, it was just inspiration to live well. Hey, life is short, it's gonna end, so we gotta maximize the time we have. But for me, it's much more than that. Because it's not just remember that you will die, which I think is the best motivation to live well. It's more, it's remember that you must die. It's a reminder of the daily death of a Christian. This idea of pick up your cross and follow me. I have to lay my life down every day. I have to die so that Christ may live in me. The old me has to die so the new me can come to life. The seed must go into the ground and die so that it may be resurrected again. It's nature's never-ending retelling and foretelling of the gospel. The fact that Christ died so that he could live again, so that he could be resurrected. The resurrection was preceded by a crucifixion. And we, you and I as believers, we walk through this process every single day of dying to self and dying to the world and dying to the flesh and coming alive in Christ. Little by little, more and more. Remember, you must die. Memento mori, the death of the old and the beginning of the new. Seasons, they bring reassurance because seasons are temporary and they come to an end. You won't always be in the season that you're in right now. You won't always be in this phase or period of your life. But rest assured, this season we call life will come to an end. And a new season will begin. And I believe no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has understood the things that God has prepared for us. The thing that God has in front of us. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. The seasons we see, the things that we face, they are temporary in our lives. We wrote this song last year, 2 years ago, called This Too Shall Pass. Our church is singing it this morning. No matter what you're in, nothing is final. It's moving on. You're moving through it. So I don't know what you're in today. No one can know what you're going to walk into tomorrow. But this I know, no season lasts forever. No struggles without end. Therefore, we don't lose heart because we have faith, though it may not seem good on the outside, God's working on the inside. We're being renewed day by day. Our momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory. This won't last, but that will. And God is preparing us for the future he has for us. I'll leave you with Galatians 6:9. Let us not grow weary of doing good. For in due season, someone said in due season, we will reap if we do not give up. So don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. God's working in your life. God's moving. God has a plan and a purpose. He's intentional. It's not a mistake. You maybe have made mistakes. God can turn those things and use them for good. We all have made mistakes. Maybe I shouldn't say maybe. You've definitely made some mistakes. So have I. But God's working it all for good. The good of those who love him and who are called according to his purpose. So seasons, they bring rhythm because they're regular. Seasons bring renewal because they're purposeful. They don't happen by accident. And seasons, they bring reassurance and they bring hope because they are temporary. Amen? Come on, can you thank God if you believe that today? If you don't mind, can you close your eyes for a moment just for privacy and for focus? I want to pray for you today before I get out of here. It's been an honor to get to share with you. Thank you for bearing with me and listening to me as I ramble on philosophically about Ecclesiastes. Thank you, God, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for today. I thank you for every person in this room and your purpose and your plan for each of us individually, God. Thank you that you're so specific, that you're so detailed, that you care for us intimately, God, that you know us, that you know the details of the seasons we're in, that you're not caught by surprise by the problems we face, God. I don't know what's in this room, but you know every single part of it, God. And so we bring these things to you. As scripture says, we cast our cares on you. We're intentional. That's not a passive thing. That's an active thing. We're not throwing up our hands and giving up. We're throwing up our hands in surrender, saying we trust you with it. We cast it on you, Lord. We give our concerns and our worries and our anxieties and our fears and our problems and our faults, Lord. We bring it all to you. God, we bring our responsibilities to you. I pray for all the parents in the room. The weight of having a child and caring for a child and the concern of that, Lord, is heavy to bear. But I pray that you would make that burden light as we bring our children to you, Lord, as we entrust them to you, God. We pray that you would give us the grace and the strength to be the parents that you called us to be. I pray for every relationship in the room and every household and home in the room, God. I pray your blessing over it. I pray your purpose in it. I pray that you would work in families, God. Bring us closer together. Pray for trust and intimacy and closeness, Lord. I pray for every business in the room, for entrepreneurs and for owners and for people working a job, God. I pray that you would just strengthen us for the work, that you would give us a sense of purpose and bring life to it, God. I pray. Thank you for your provision. Thank you for your guidance. Thank you for your wisdom. Lord, we trust you in every season of life. For people who are in a difficult season, God, I pray for comfort and peace. I pray that you would do what only you can do, God. As we were singing today, we're here for you. Come and do what you do. We need a move of God. It's not enough to share encouraging thoughts and good principles for life. God, we need Jesus. We need a Savior in our lives. God, we're broken. We have sinned, God, but in Jesus, we are forgiven and we're righteous. We thank you for your work in the world. We thank you for your work in our hearts and minds and lives. We invite you in, God. I just want to take a moment right now to speak to anyone in the room who is not in a relationship with Jesus. If you're here today and you go, maybe you've been coming to church. Maybe you grew up in church. Maybe there was a moment when you were following God, but you've fallen away. Or maybe you've never had the truth of the gospel explained to you. The gospel is simple. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but would have eternal life. God created you. He made you. He loves you. And he loved you so much that he sent Jesus to die on your behalf. You know that you've sinned. You know that you've fallen short. You know that if the standard is perfection, that you could never live up to it. None of us can. But God offers something better than justice. He offers mercy. He offers forgiveness. And it did not come without a cost. It came at the sacrifice of his only son, Jesus. Jesus came, he lived, he died. And through the power of God, he was resurrected. This is the gospel that we proclaim. And so if you're here today and you go, I want to live in relationship with Jesus. I want to know him in a deeper way. I want to surrender my life to him. Would you just raise your hand? No one's looking. This is a moment between you and God. Thank you. I see your hand today. I see your hands. This is not anything you could earn or deserve. This is a free gift of grace. Scripture says that we are saved by grace through faith, and faith just means trust. And so you lifting your hand, it's not about your hand, it's about your heart. God sees you. You lifting your hand is an act of surrender, saying, I want to give my life to God. I want to acknowledge that I have sinned, and I want to ask him for his forgiveness. And he is faithful to forgive. Romans 10 verse 9 says, believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you will be saved. And so I just want to lead you in a prayer. We all say this together. Say, Jesus, I thank you that you lived, that you died, and that you were resurrected for my sin, and that through your sacrifice, I can be saved. I can be forgiven and set free. And so today I give you my life. I lift my hands in surrender. I acknowledge my sin, and I ask you for your mercy. Thank you, Jesus, for new life in you. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen, amen. Come on, can we put our hands together today? God's working. He's moving. Church, I love you. Thanks for having me. Abel, come on up here. Abel, everybody. I'm hosting for you.
Can we just give a round of applause to Luke? Thank him. Yeah, I feel that that word is obviously, it's timely because we're going into a new building. But I have a high expectancy. My faith is high for what God's going to do. Even though it seems like Pastor Steve says a set back, I believe it's a setup. And I just encourage you guys to look forward to this next season, not only in your personal lives and your family's lives, but with Ascend Church, because this is God's house, and God's got ways and plans that are higher than our ways. And so even though we can't see what the next season is going to bring, it all goes back to trusting him, because he's the good father, and every good thing in your life is from him. So I was just really blessed by that. I know you guys were, and I've known Luke, like you said, since I was 6 years old. Known him from playing Xbox in his home, Halo, to joining on the worship team when I was 13, which is actually the building that we're going to. He was playing keys, and then he became the worship leader, and then the worship leader, he's obviously at VU now. So I've seen tremendous growth in his life, and I've always looked up to him. So it's cool seeing come full circle and all that God's doing in your life. And I just want to remind you guys, if you guys want to sow into Luke's ministry, there's a way to give online. For those watching online, it's under guest speaker. And then there's envelopes and the same ways to give as well, to sow into what God's doing for him. So in the topic of seasons and new changes, I just want to remind you guys again that we're going to be meeting next Saturday at 401 Maplewood Drive. It's where the Maplewood Plaza, right behind Home Depot. And it's going to be Saturday night services, so no more Sunday morning at 10 a.m. We're doing Saturday night at 6 p.m. So obviously this is the last time we're going to be in this building, and we'll see you guys next Saturday at 6 p.m. And I want to encourage you, because it's going to be the first service, bring a guest, invite someone to come. Let's really pack this place out. And as Pastor Steve said, let's give the devil a black eye next Saturday. How about that? A couple other announcements. Youth, Ascend Youth, we're going to be taking a break for the month of September while we kind of figure out what's the next move of God and what God's telling us to do for October, figuring out the right night. So just stand by on that. And then the last announcement is Thursday prayer. This Thursday is going to be our last prayer meeting here at this church in the upper room. So if you guys have not come to prayer over the last couple of years, just come and let's give the devil two black eyes this Thursday. So yeah, just encourage you guys to come check it out, even if you haven't seen it before. I'm expecting a big turnout and just the presence and the power of God to be. And it's actually the last day we're here in the church. It's the 31st, the first we moved to the new building. So I feel like it's no coincidence either. So I'm just going to close in prayer, and then you guys can be dismissed. Father, we thank you for this day. This is your day, Lord. This is a day to be in your house. This is a house of worship, a house of prayer. We thank you for the word that you've given through Luke. I ask that seeds that were planted in our hearts reap a bountiful harvest, Lord, in season and out of season. I thank you for doing a great work in us, God. We just surrender everything to you, Lord, and we say, we trust you. We trust you. We trust you. We know that you've got our life in your hands, Lord, and that you're working all things together for our good. I thank you that you just bless everyone here. You strengthen them, encourage them, Lord. Give them a new hope and a new outlook on this next season. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Love you guys. Thank you for coming to Ascend Church. I'll see you next Saturday at the Maplewood Plaza. God bless you. Can we play some music?